What's going on, everybody?
Yo, yo, yo.
We are here once again.
Back at it.
Read Between the Lines, episode 8. Shout out to everybody that's here with us today listening. You know, the socials, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all of that. Make sure to like, share with everyone you know about what we're trying to do here. You know, we're just, you know, two guys trying to talk about some things that, you know, you might care about, you might not. But here we are. So, how you been, Mr. Q?
I've been pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah? This week going, treating you okay?
This week is treating me very well. Okay. Can't complain. What about yourself?
Good, man. You know, I took some time off and I'm back at work and it's been good. I can't complain.
Nice.
And there's been some things going on in the world, and we want to talk about it a little bit. There's a few stories that I've come across and want to share with you guys and see what you guys think, too. So always let us know in the comments or, you know, in the socials what you might think about some of these topics and give us some feedback. But one of the things that that I saw in the news was Rihanna working on some new music, which has been a while for Rihanna. But let me just read this article that I came across. Rihanna opened up about her new music and experiences with motherhood. The singer, who has been focusing on her role as a mother, she revealed that she's working on new music after a long hiatus. She went on to talk about her challenges and joys of balancing career and personal life, emphasizing how motherhood has influenced her artistry and priorities. She's expressed excitement about her upcoming projects and the impact on her new life experiences. She's talking about how the things in her life and her experiences will impact her new music. So first of all, are you a Rihanna fan?
I love some RiRi.
Okay. And I mean, obviously, it's been a while since she's put out some music, so I'm kind of excited to see what this new project may be about. I know that she mentioned in that article about motherhood and some of her life experiences might be channeling that music. I'm sure there'll be some themes about that.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you were going to say something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rihanna is like, she's a jack of all trades, a queen of all trades, like from the music, the makeup, the fashion, the modeling. Like, she does no wrong. Like, she can get in any of these lanes and just run with it and just go with it. So, the music going to be dope. People are on the line waiting to hear new music. Her makeup is doing good. Actually, I saw it inside the mall for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Her makeup?
Yeah. And it's very affordable.
That's been out, though.
Well, I never paid any attention to it.
I mean, well, you wouldn't have a need to, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just pretty cool.
Sorry, I'm having some issues with this mic. I'm trying to...
I think it's pretty cool to see some Fendi makeup by Rihanna. I think that's kind of dope.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of her. Oh snap! Yeah, this might. Yep, this is crazy. You know, I might just hold on to this because I don't know what's going on. This mic thing, and if you're watching this video, you probably saw what happened. But if you're at home, we have this very wobbly table, which honestly, we may have to come up with a new table because I don't know if this is going to work. Dude, I might just hang on to this because I don't know.
Okay.
And can you hand me those notes? But, yeah, we're going to have to invest in a new table because, yeah, I don't know how long this is going to work. But anyway, yeah, I'm just going to hang on to this for now. But yeah, man. So yeah, she's gonna be making some new music, and one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because obviously, you know, you know, we're music fans, and this, you know, you always hear these comparisons, but like, who do you think between Beyonce and Rihanna, who has a better catalog, you think?
That would be Beyonce.
You think so?
Yeah.
Now, are you saying because you're part of the Beehive, or are you just being objective?
I am being objective.
Okay.
Because Beyonce has a lot. Well, from Destiny Child and Beyonce, she has her catalog is huge. And I think Riri's is huge as well. But I think to be honest, I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to keep it 100. I'm going to keep it 1,000, as the millennials say. I think Riri could be or almost as bigger than Beyonce.
In what way?
As far as her music mogul, because I think what happened with her, she kind of like paused her music for a while because she went through a couple of things in relationship wise and, you know, the stuff going on in her personal life and then her relationships and then, you know, having her first kid, and she just kind of like she was just all over the place. And then she finally found herself back where she needs to be. And so I think when she had the Super Bowl performance, she let people know, I'm back. She's clocked in and she's ready.
But right now you think Beyonce has the better catalog?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I took the liberty of looking at each one's top 10 songs. I looked at Beyonce's top 10 songs that she's had over her career, along with Rihanna's top 10. And I want to go through some of them, and you tell me if, like, okay, if you still feel that way. So let's start with Beyonce. Beyonce, you've got Single Ladies. Obviously, that was the anthem back in 2008. Then you had Crazy in Love, which she did with Jay-Z back in 2003. Then you had Halo. Then you had Love on Top. I mean, these are all hits. Mm-hmm. You know, Formation, 2016. Then you had Irreplaceable. Drunk in Love, again with Jay-Z. Girls, you know, Run the World. Mm-hmm. Another, you know, girl anthem. And then Best Thing I Never Had. That was another one, which I don't know that one. I don't know if I've heard that one. You know that one? Mm-hmm. And then she has Sweet Dreams, was kind of like an EDM type or electro pop type.
Over electro pop, yeah.
I'm not familiar with that one either. So that's her top 10 that obviously she's got more than that, but that's like her top 10 hits. So that's pretty good, you know. So now let's compare them to Rihanna's top 10 hits that she's had. And her top 10 consists of Umbrella, mm-hmm. Again with Jay-Z, 2007. I think we see a pattern here. We Found Love. She did that one with Calvin Harris. Mm-hmm. Diamonds. Mm-hmm. She did Only Girl in the World, 2010. What's My Name, you know, featuring Drake. She did that one. Work, again, with Drake. Rude Boy, that was in 2009. It's kind of a reggae feel to it. S&M, mm-hmm. kind of a dance pop. Where Have You Been, 2011. That was more of an EDM club banger that she did. And then Love the Way You Lie, featuring Eminem. Mm-hmm. So these are all solid too, bro. Like, to be honest with you, like, I mess more with Rihanna's songs than Beyonce's, just from a listener mm-hmm. standpoint, just from, like, the vibe that I get from them.
Right.
Like, some of the ones from Beyonce, like, yeah, you know, they're catchy, they're vibey, but a lot of them, I don't know if it's just because I'm a guy. They seem kind of like more like girl anthems, stuff like that, like single ladies, stuff like that. Like, I'm not singing that. I mean, I'll bounce to it or whatever. But Rihanna's, you know, they to me, they just feel more more that I can kind of, you know, vibe with more. But that's just me.
Yeah. So, you know, Beyonce's always have been about girl power. Yeah. She's always had been since day one. She was being about girl power because her band, her whole ensemble was all nothing but women. The drums, the guitars, I mean, everything was, the whole stage was full of women. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of her tracks are girl power. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I mean that's good, which, you know,
yeah,
that's fine. But I just I think for me, well, while most people might, she might pull in more of a crowd. Like, she might fill more seats at a concert, let's say. Beyonce might. But I think that just from a musical standpoint, as a fan, as a music enthusiast, I feel like Rihanna's songs kind of hit me more. So for me, you know, I go with Rihanna.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do think it's great that she's planning on coming out with some new music.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested to see if maybe she'll have ASAP Rocky on there. Probably, you know,
of course,
he'll probably be have a few lines on there, but yeah, man. So staying in the music biz, we got Lenny Kravitz. He embraces celibacy and personal growth. This is a story that I found interesting. So let me just read it a little bit for those that may not know. Lenny Kravitz has revealed that he has been celibate for several years. Come to find out, it's more like 10 years. Focusing on personal growth and self-discovery. The musician shared that this period of celibacy has allowed him to delve deeper into his spirituality and creativity. He emphasizes that his choice was not about avoiding relationships, but rather about dedicating time to himself and his artist and his artistic pursuits. This phase has been transformative, providing him with clarity and a renewed sense of purpose. So I'm sure you saw this story out there. Yeah. So what was your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I think Lenny Kravitz is very focused. He is into the era in his life. I mean, look at him. The guy's what? 60?
Yeah, he's 60.
And he runs with the ones who literally about 30 or 40. He's in top shape of his life.
He's very good shape.
And so I look at him, his career has been a success. Everything he's done in the past has been a success. So he's at a point in his life where he just focuses and he wants to better himself to another level. And I think that's great, you know. But
that's got to be tough, bro.
I know it's probably tough, but that's probably what he just telling people. But you're not going to sit here and tell me this guy doesn't have nobody on the side. No relationship, no nothing on the side.
You mean just like emotional support?
Yeah.
Not no physical, you mean?
I think both.
Oh, so you're saying that he might have some physical intimacy, just not sex.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, I guess yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he. You're not gonna see him. He watch Netflix and chill by himself.
But he's not seeing anybody. He's not dating
That we don't know of.
Well, yeah. I mean, because I feel like people would have found out the way social media is.
I don't know.
These days.
Lenny can easily fly on the radar if you really want to. I think so.
Well, to be honest with you, like, I remember listening to some of his music, like, in the 90s, like, early 2000s. He had a few songs that, like, American Woman and, so, you know, a few other ones like that. But, I mean, I've never really been, like, crazy about his music, per se. Like, I've never been to his concert. I know he's a great guitarist. Now, everyone kind of, compared him to Jimi Hendrix. you know, in terms of his looks, and obviously being a black man playing the guitar in the rock space and all that, people, a lot of comparisons to Lenny Jimi Hendrix. But I mean, he's become like his own icon, and not just in the rock world in terms of music, even though he doesn't have any like records out here that people know, like currently, but he's become, you know, a fashion icon as well. You always see him in like all this like campaigns for who's that one brand that he's always wearing? You say Laurent or one of those.
Saint Laurent.
Yeah, one of those that he's always rocking. But
yeah, and he did a couple of perfume commercials too.
Yeah, I think for the same brand too.
Yeah, so yeah, he's a sex symbol,
which is crazy because he's not even having sex.
He's not, but he's a sex symbol. Yeah,
and you know what's funny? Because like when I saw that story, it reminded me of Kevin Gates. You know Kevin Gates.
Yes, I do.
And I remember listening to him, and he was also talking about being celibate, but he went, he was talking about semen retention. Do you remember him talking about that?
I do remember him. Yeah.
And how he was saying that that allows you to channel your energy in other ways and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, man. It's one of those things, to each their own, but I feel like that'll be very hard. Now, I have heard, for example, like fighters and boxers, they'll say like whenever they're about to go on a fight, like that fight week, like they won't have any sex or whatever. Like I don't know. So there might be something to it that it allows you to focus more and like, I don't know. But I'm just thinking like in Lenny's case, like 10 years, like, bruh, wow. I mean, it's a bit wild to me. Any thoughts on that?
Like I said, I just think he's focused, and I think he knows what he wants, and he's going for it. You know.
Do you think more people should try that?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
Would that be something you would try?
Yeah, I think I would, because I know sometimes if I'm not in a relationship and it's not solid, and you just dipped and dabbing, I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of soul ties. There's a lot of stuff comes behind just giving yourself to someone, you know, and just sleeping with people and just, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I believe in spirits. Sometimes stuff can transfer. And so sometimes when you just giving yourself an intimacy to someone and somebody that's going to be temporary in your life, it kind of mess you up, you know, different types of relationships, different partners and stuff and whatnot. You know, you just in and out. And I can see why he doesn't, because I'd rather say, I guess he feel like his peace is so genuine and it's valuable to him. So why mess with his peace, you know?
Well, I will say, especially being a celebrity, like I'm sure, you know, he's got women that throw themselves at him. And I'm sure he's had his share of all kinds of, you know, sexual escapades throughout the year. Yeah. And maybe to him, like, it's like, I mean, I'm sure he's had all kinds of things. And to him, it's just like, man, I don't have it all. Like, this ain't it. Like, and, you know, because, like, I've heard, for example, like, rich people. I've heard people like Will Smith and other people say that there comes a point that when you're that rich, that when you've bought every single car that you can buy, when you've gone to every single restaurant that you can go to, when you've gone to all the, you know, different places in the world that you can go to in vacation, you know, when you've done all of that, and then you come to realize, then what else? Like, it's like, so, and for a lot of, you know, rich people, like, they say that money doesn't make you happy. And maybe it's the same way for Lenny, but in the more sexual way, because it's like, yeah, I've had it all. And and still doesn't make me happy, doesn't satisfy me. In a lot of ways, because you're trying to like hook up with so-and-so, hook up with so-and-so, you do kind of become less focused because you're trying to like pursue these other things. So you're not, it takes time and like when energy. you're energy. So if you're trying to, you know, create art or like work on your craft or whatever you're working on, that can certainly sidetrack you and make you spend a lot of time and energy that you could have been like, well, right. if I would have just done this, I could have had this album done mm-hmm. instead of worrying about so-and-so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's probably something to it. And I'm sure it works for him, but I was just like, wow, 10 years. Cause he's, like I said, he's 60 but he looks great. I guess we'll see how long he can keep that up. But you know, kind of keep it in the music industry. I came across this article, which I thought was really interesting, talking about, you know, the music industry and concerts. You know, last week, if you guys listened to us, we talked about, for example, you know, Jennifer Lopez canceling her tour. So let me just read you this article that talks about live music industry faces unexpected downturn. So the live music industry is experiencing a surprising downturn in summer 2024. Despite a strong post-pandemic recovery, financial pressures have led to the cancellation or downsizing of many festivals and tours. High ticket prices for major artists like Taylor Swift and Beyoncé have left fans with limited budgets for other events. Rising costs and logistics and logistical challenges further strained the industry, potentially leading to a crisis in an oversaturated market. And when it talked about an oversaturated market, it was talking about there's a lot of artists out there on tour right now, which has kind of saturated the market, and there's not enough money to go around in terms of like people buying tickets to go see people. And, you know, like I talked about, like Beyonce and like, you know, Taylor Swift, some of these like more well-known artists that people pay top dollar to go see. And all of a sudden, there's not a whole lot of cash that people have left over to go see these other like middle of the road or like, you know, emerging artists on the come up. So when you read that article and you see what's going on and people's podcasts, like, you know, what do you think about that?
Honestly, I don't agree with that because I feel like people are going to spend their coin to see who they want to go see. It doesn't matter if it's the mortgage is due. It does not matter if there's no food on the table.
They'll charge it to the game to put on the credit card.
They're going to find a way. Prime example, I know a couple of people at work that I know are like, they are the grace period queens and kings. Like, they are trying to find a way to pinch a penny just to make it to the next payday.
Wow.
But yet and still, they're going to the Chris Brown concert. And one other female has bought the meet and greet package. And if you're a Chris Brown fan, everything starts at 11:11. That's a big deal to him. And plus that the package costs $1,111. Just a picture. And he's going to grope you in the picture. And you're going to pay $1,100 for this picture. So, and these folks are on a budget. I know for sure they're on a budget. But I just feel like people are going to do what they want to do. And yeah, you got some folks who would love to attend these shows but cannot afford it. And they'll prioritize in their life and say, you know what? I would love to go. I would love to support. These are my fans. This is my artist, but I cannot do it. But then there are some people who are ride or die. They're going to find a way. They're going to find a way. They're going to go. I don't care what it's going to do, what they're going to take. If that means a second job, if it means overtime, give them plasma. I don't know. They're going to go to the show.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure. Like, I feel like, people do find a way.
They're going to find a way, bro.
Yeah.
So I don't feed into that.
But I think, but I do think there is some to that in the sense that, For example, like last week we talked about Jennifer Lopez canceling her tour, and there being some other artists that have had to cancel certain shows. Like I know, for example, like I think Bad Bunny had to cancel one or two shows. Justin Timberlake, I think, canceled one or two shows because there's some issues with ticketing and stuff like that. But say what?
No, go ahead.
Oh, you did a thumbs down?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake is whack.
I mean, I'm not going
honestly,
to the show.
He's not. Nobody. I mean, honestly, this is if you are a Justin Timberlake fan or a Jennifer Lopez fan, excuse me. But anyway, I digress. J-Lo, they're whack, man. Like they hot as far as the fashion, maybe a producer, but as far as doing a whole show by yourself, no.
You don't. Justin Timberlake ain't one of those.
Justin Timberlake had his time. He did. Now, back in the day, a couple years ago, when he was doing stuff with Jay-Z, Long as I Got My Suit and Tie.
Yeah, yeah.
That era. He was on top of his thing. But what happened to these artists, I noticed, when they take that time off and don't do nothing, they become irrelevant. Nobody don't even think about them. Because it's hard to keep up in this world because people's attention span are so short, they forget about you.
Well, it's... But here's the thing. I feel like artists like him, like the Justin Timberlakes of the world, or like other artists from like the, you know, early 2000s, like they're not catering to the crowd. They're not catering to the kids nowadays. They're catering to their parents, you know, basically. We are those people now.
Yeah.
So they're catering
well,
to
that's, in that case, that's why they're not going because they got mortgages and they got insurance. They got life policies.
That's my point.
They got
a lot. That's what I'm saying. Like a lot of people are kind of like tied, you know, their money's kind of tied up. But at the same time, you know, when you have people like the Beyonce's of the world, the Taylor Swift's of the world, I know somebody for a fact that went to Spain to see Taylor Swift because the tickets were cheaper over there. Like flying to Spain and seeing her in Spain was cheaper than seeing her here. That's how expensive they were over here.
I can believe that.
And so people find a way, like you said, to, you know, to catch whoever their favorite artist. Like for me, like in the last couple of years, I've been able to go see some of my favorite artists that I've looked up to in through the years. Like, for example, in December, we went to Vegas and saw U2 at the Sphere. Phenomenal show. That's a great venue. Like, I feel like if more venues like that started popping up in different places and people started going there and people were doing, like, residencies, I think that'd be good for artists. But, for example, that right there, like, you know, we didn't pay crazy money, but we paid good money to go see them. And I thought it was well worth it.
That was.
Like Coldplay, you know, I saw them at the Mercedes Stadium. Not in the arena, stadium here in Atlanta. It was packed out, and they put on a great show. So there's definitely people that are worth it, and they're going to bring a crowd in. But then you have, like, these, like, upcoming, like, or, like, or like artists that never really made it big, but that's all they depend on is tour money. And those are the ones that you wonder, like, you know, are they really going to make any money or are people really going to come out and see them? Like, I think, like, here locally, 21 Savage is coming up.
That already happened. I think
that already happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was coming up here in the next week or two.
I think it was two weeks ago.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even know if anybody went or how it went. But yeah, I mean, but kind of going into that, because you kind of spoke about it a little bit, you know, people spending that kind of money and looking at in the situation of Chris Brown, and there's been a lot of talk in social media and on the news about Chris Brown and what he's been charging for these meet and greets. So they're about $1,000, $1,111 meet and greet packages for his tour. And You know, fans will pay to pose intimately with the star, with viral photos showing Brown grabbing fans' booties. The package includes two signed items, a calendar, a tour gift, and a bunch of other stuff. But really, it's all about the pictures that he takes with him. And so, you know, what I wanted to ask you in regards to this, do you think that the fans, especially the ones that pay for these VIP, do you think they're more excited about the concert or about the potential of Chris Brown potentially grabbing their ass?
It's the potential, because something about a touch. It's one thing to have your artist sing to you on the stage, but it's a whole different level to be at a meet and greet and you actually hugging this guy and this guy is actually grabbing you.
But what is it that they're willing to pay that much though?
Because it's Chris Brown, bro.
But is it? I mean, I think like if other artists were offering similar things, they probably will get that too. But obviously Chris Brown is the only one. But still though, man, like the sidekick in some of these women's head to, I don't know, man. I can't.
Honestly, I think, to be honest, and y'all don't have to agree with me, but if you do, put it in the comments, put it in the chat feed. But I think it's a gold mine because Chris Brown know he is Chris Brown. So he know he going to take all these chicks' money. He's taking all their money. And I even saw a post on, I don't know if it was on Instagram or TikTok, where a guy got upset with his girl because talking about breaking up with her because she was going to Chris Brown's show.
Oh, she broke up the engagement.
Yeah, something like that. She didn't, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he broke up the engagement or something like that to the fact because she went to this show, she did the meet and greet, he grabbed her, and she posted the picture on her social media. And so he felt disrespected, and he called everything off.
Would you now, feel disrespected?
How would you feel? Don't ask me. Let's ask them. How would you feel if that was your girl and she did that? Would you break off the engagement? Or would you break up with her? Or would you just suck at them and say, you know what? That's Chris Brown. You're not going to sin no more after tonight anyway. So how would you feel about that? You let me know how you feel. Me personally?
Yeah.
If
your girl...
If my girl went to the show...
Let me paint the picture. She said, I'm gonna go to the show. I got the VIP. You're like, I bet. So she goes to the VIP. Next thing you know, you wake up the next day on her Instagram. She got that picture with Chris Brown kissing her on the cheek and grabbing her booty.
Honestly, it wouldn't bother me.
Oh, my God.
It would not, because this is a simple fact. I understand what she's getting involved in because she's going to the show. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. I was not born yesterday. So I know. If she's going to this show, I already know if she got the meet and greet package. And I already know that she's going to, if she's a Chris Brown fan and she's a ride or die, have your fun. Because I know at the end of the day, Chris Brown ain't gonna know you the next day. All he gonna know is your money. Ching ching. And once he get your money, you come back home to me. I'm fine. I'm cool with that. Now, granted, if you was not a Chris Brown fan, never cared about his music, and you going to this show, and you did this, then I would have a problem with it. But if I know you that you are ride or die like me, I love Beyonce. So, and I love Riri, whatever case may be. And if I did that, if she went into the show and she was not a fan of Chris Brown, never really cared about his music, and she heard his song, and she was like, oh, okay, cool. But all of a sudden you want to go to the show and you did something like this, then I'll probably think, no. What's the point? What's the hidden agenda behind it? Like, what's your motive behind the situation? But if I know you already a fan, a true fan, if you went to go for it. Because I know at the end of the day, you come back home anyway.
Dude, you lost your mind.
I got my mind. And if my thing is my peace is protected, I'm not going to lose my junk because you out here. Posting a picture with a celebrity. At the end of the day, it's just a celebrity that you don't even go with, that don't even know you.
Well, it's not the fact that it's a celebrity, because it's not a matter of it's a celebrity or not. is the whole principle of it. If I've got a man, well, in this case, if a woman has a man at home, in your case, I don't know, because there's levels to it,
right?
But you know, you can say, well, if we just met, all right, I can maybe let that slide because we just met. But I guarantee right now, if I'm dating a girl that's willing to pay that kind of money to be grabbed by a stranger, because yeah, you know him from his music, but he's a stranger to you. You don't know nothing about this man other than his music. Like, and you're willing to pay that kind of money to be grabbed by him, you're not the type of woman I want to be with anyway. That being said, if we're to the point that we're about to be engaged, or we are engaged, or we're married for that matter, and you choose to want to go to these things, I would, first of all, it wouldn't get to that point. But if we were engaged or about to be married, I would have serious reservations. I would have serious questions if the woman that's going to say I do and be my wife and be the mother of my children is willing to go see some random dude because he likes her his music and willing to get grabbed by him, put it on social media. Because here's the thing. You might be honest about it. You might be deeply say, you know what, it doesn't bother me. But you have to think about it like this. She's not just doing that to you. She represents you. She represents you to the world.
I take my bet. You're right.
And the other thing about it is, like,
calm down.
No, but phrase it. No woman alive would be like, okay, you got the VIP tickets to go see Beyonce or see Riri, and she's gonna let you take pictures with her, you grabbing her ass or touching her or whatever. No woman alive would be okay with that. So by the same token, why should we be okay with them disrespecting us like that?
You win.
You know, but no, I'm just saying.
That's true. You're right. As you break it down to that terminology, then yes, you're right. That's a whole different level of disrespect.
Now, that being said, obviously we don't have to get to that level, but let me just ask you this, you know, who will be someone that you would say, you know what, I will pay money to go see or have a meet and greet with so-and-so? Obviously not to that level, but maybe just to like take pictures with them or like say, hey man, like, you know, or maybe like, you know, have a quick conversation with them or whatever. Who will be somebody that you would like say, you know what, I'll pay $1,000 to go do a meet and greet with so-and-so?
Well, obviously, people who know me know I would say Beyonce. But beside Beyonce, it would be probably Nicki Minaj.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Because Nicki's, if I had a weekend, if I had a choice to pick any weekend to hang out with any like pop artist like that, I think it would be probably Nicki Minaj because she seemed real laid back and chill. Now, I don't know what she does behind the scene, but as far as what I see, as far as the social media on clips behind the scene, she does real down to earth. She has a very cool vibe where she just chill, you know, and it goes out to a female that always got a lot of guy friends because she's always a cool girl in the group of the dudes. So you got to be cool if you're hanging out with Drake or you hung out with Lil Wayne, you know, all these guys like that. So, you know, you have to be at a certain level of expertise to be able to hang out with these guys. You can't be no little wimp, you know. But she just seemed like she has good vibes, good aura. Be cool to kick it with, you know.
So you would just be like, so you go to the meeting and be like, hi, Nikki.
She'd be like, you know, if I did that, you know what she would say? I already know what she would do. That's her favorite thing she would do. Like, okay. But anyway, but yeah. But Nikki's cool. Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Beyonce would be cool, but I think Beyonce would be real girly. She would seem very, very pink, you know, because she's an alter ego. Like, you see her one way on the stage, I'm pretty sure that she's not like that all the time. because she's a mom. She got children. She has a daughter who's almost tall, as big as her. She's a I mean, she got a husband. She got a family. So she be in this costume all the time. I think when she steps out of that role and come to be a just be Beyonce, she's that mom's daughter. Or she's a dad's daughter. Like, she's just very girly and fluffy and just chill. Like, she's not like you would think she would be on the stage. Now, to me, I can see Nicki Minaj being almost the same way you see. Like,
On stage, she's fierce.
She gonna cuss you out on the stage. Nicki Minaj will, and she will cuss you out in public. It doesn't matter. If you say something, if you cross her the wrong way, you gonna get it. I can just see that. Beyonce will probably be the one to smile and just walk away, you know, because when she's on the stage, she becomes somebody totally different. It's just my opinion, but anyway.
Well, honestly, I really don't know who I would pick, but like, I think just from like some of the top artists that are out there, and you know, I'll probably say Drake. I mean, I like a lot of his music. I think he's got a great catalog. I think it'd be kind of cool just to, like, you know, be like, hey man, you know, I think you're doing a great thing, and just maybe ask him a couple questions, whether he'll answer them or not, I don't know.
Ask him about the BBL Drizzy.
BBL Drizzy. I don't know. He might get mad at that. Man, but yeah, man. So hopefully, if you're out there and you're paying that kind of money to see Chris Breezy and get grabbed on, then all right, you know.
I mean, if you're out there doing that type of thing, just make sure that your bills are paid first.
Oh, for sure.
Don't be sitting here spending your rent money, your car payment note to go see some dude or some female that's gonna cost you almost $2,000. And then you gotta go back home, and you have no job, and you're trying to, you know, get off your parents to get ends meet the next time. Don't do that. Be smart.
Be
young, have fun, but just be mindful and think before you do things like that. You know.
Yeah, and just to kind of put a bow on this, I think he's on this tour that he's on, he's like scheduled to make like $800,000. I want to say just from those meet and greets, because I think they're over 1,000 for each, and each city, I think there's a 20 person cap on it, and they're all sold out. So there you go.
Wow.
We're going to keep it rolling. And I saw this story, today, actually, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it. But Iman Shumpert claims Teyana Taylor earns double his income amid child support battle. For those who don't know, Iman Shumpert is a former NBA player. And Teyana Taylor, obviously, is a recording artist and actress as well. But let me just read you this. Iman Shumpert has requested a judge to adjust his and Teyana Taylor's child support arrangement, claiming that Taylor earns nearly double his income. Legal documents revealed that Taylor secretly filed for divorce nearly a year ago, accusing Shumpert of jealousy and insecurity. Initially, Taylor claimed Shumpert earned more due to his NBA career. However, Shumpert now alleges that Taylor earns $93,000 before taxes each month. Dang. That's a month? Jeez. While he makes roughly $47,000 a month, I guess. Despite having made over $48 million in NBA contracts, Shumpert, who hasn't played professionally since 2021, offered to pay $8,000 a month for child support and split additional medical expenses with Taylor. So, you know, first of all, what are your thoughts on this story? I mean, do you think, you know, his claims that she makes double, because we don't really know if that's really true or not. That's just what he's claiming. Do you think he's doing that to kind of bypass his financial responsibilities, or do you think he's really trying to, like, you know, make it fair?
I think he really is trying to make it fair.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. I mean, how many kids they got? Two, three?
I don't know. I think two. I could be wrong, but I think it's two.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah, I think it is two. Now, my thing is like, okay, obviously, we don't know for sure if that's really what she's making a month. But if she is, that's a lot of money. I mean, $98,000, I mean, that's a lot of money. And if he's only making half of that, which is 48, and they're getting a divorce and they're, you know, going over child support and everything, and he's already willing to pay $8,000, I think it's only fair. I mean, don't you think? Because if it was the other way around, if he was making 98 and she was making 48, I mean, she would want him to pay more than $8,000. I guarantee you that. Because they usually make you pay like 40% of your earnings if you're the man. They'll make you pay 40% of your earnings towards child support, depending on how many you got too. So, I mean, the fact that he's paying $8,000 is actually not that bad when you think about it, I think.
Well, I guess really it depends on the lifestyle. $8,000 a month. Or you don't know if it's two kids, you don't know the expense of like private schools, and
yeah,
you know, it depends on, because they're not young kids, they got to be what, at least like 10, 12, or they're not like babies, yeah. So therefore they are developed into their own lifestyle, which might be sports, might be Ivy League, who knows what it might be involved in. Right. So whatever lifestyle these kids had before they went into the situation, that's probably the agreement of why she wanted $8,000 a month, because whatever these kids could be doing, who knows? They might be hanging out with Northwest, or who knows? Who knows the lifestyle they may have? So, you know, it can get expensive, but on the male side of you, he probably thinking, man, this is just $8,000 for, and these kids are only 12, you know?
But the thing is, he's willing. He's more than willing to pay the $8,000.
Yeah,
he's agreed to do it.
Suggestion that maybe we can.
Yeah, like if there's other like medical bills or other things that come up in the month, that okay, great, let's split it because you make more than I do.
Right.
At least that's what he's saying.
Tiana, she's clocked in right now. She's on a TV show right now, a hit show right now. I can't think of what it is. Shy.
Oh, The Shy?
She's on Shy. That's what it is. She's on Shy. And Shy just started this fifth season, I think.
And I think we were talking last week. Didn't you say that she was also working on some projects with Tyler Perry as well?
Yes. Yes, she had a new film coming on with Tyler Perry that's going to hit Netflix in mid-July. So she's clocked in. She's working.
And the thing about it is, like, I mean, you know, the article said that he made about $48 million in NBA contracts. Let me tell you right now, he didn't keep those $48 million. First of all, half of that is went bye-bye in taxes. And then you got to think about all his handlers, you know, agents, this or that. So at the end of the day, he might have just kept maybe a third of that. I don't even know if he still has it, because a lot of these athletes are not good with their money, but hopefully he invested it, or he, you know, make some good financial decisions. But if he's making $43,000 a month, I mean, what is that a year? I don't even know. What's the math on that?
Almost just as much as I make a year.
Okay. He's got jokes.
Hey, you got to look, you got to speak it and believe it at the same time. Remember that.
Amen. You know what? You're right. You got to speak it into existence.
He's probably close to almost where I am right now. So,
okay.
Yeah, with that being said, you know, he was just on Dance with the Stars about a couple years ago.
And maybe. He won, didn't he?
And he won. So,
yeah.
That let me know he might be getting low on money, because anytime we start going Dance with the Stars, then you start doing shooting commercials for Irish Springs or Dove Soap, then you know, you start doing the progressive commercials and stuff. Yeah, it's about time to come down to the real world. So, yeah, he's probably getting there.
But you know what, though? Like, I feel like they had a good thing going.
They did.
I mean.
But what happened?
Well, she claims, you know, because she filed for divorce, you know, last year, and she claims he was insecure and what else she said? And jealousy. I mean, I don't know what that, I mean, that could mean anything. Was he like jealous of like the thing, the roles and things she was getting into? I don't know. What was he insecure about? I don't know. Was she doing like any like crazy like sex scenes and stuff like that?
Well, she's very seductive.
Yeah. Right?
She's done a lot of things, even with Kanye. That explains a whole lot right there. She did a couple of videos with Kanye. Mm-hmm. I remember she did a performance on, I don't know, the VMAs or the BET. She did a performance where she was soaking wet.
I vaguely remember that.
And but she always had the body. Like, she had the best abs in the industry.
Yeah.
And so she always showed her body. You know, that was her thing. So she did a lot of things with very provocative, a lot of, like, scenes, dancing, videos by alone. Like, she was a video vixen. Like, she did stuff with Kanye. She did stuff with Jay-Z. She did stuff with Chris Brown, all the different artists. And, you know, it showed a couple of things. So I'm pretty sure he probably felt like, hey, this is my wife. This is my kid's mom, yeah, out here showing all her goods, you know. And she probably would be, yeah, at Chris Brown, the meet and greet for $1,100. But anyway, but yeah, she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She's a gorgeous woman, beautiful body, you know, but that's all we know. But we don't know what all happened behind the scenes. Like, we see only on the outside and not knowing what happened on the inside, because there's always two sides to a story.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I don't know all the details, yeah, about that, but, you know,
but we wish them well.
Yeah. we wish them well. But kind of keep it in the entertainment world. I don't know if you saw recently, Kevin Spacey, he's fighting to get his career back, trying to make a comeback amid legal battles. Let me just read you a little bit of what this article was talking about. So Kevin Spacey is striving to revive his acting career after a series of legal challenges and allegations of sexual misconduct. Despite multiple accusations and ongoing legal battles, Spacey maintains his innocence and is determined to return to the entertainment industry. He has recently taken on new projects, signaling his intent to rebuild his professional reputation. The actor's efforts to reclaim his career come amid a broader conversation about accountability and redemption in Hollywood. Obviously, you know, we talked about last week a little bit about the whole Diddy situation and whether he can come back from all that. Now we have a situation with Kevin Spacey. Now, I don't know if you know the details of his story and what he went through. Do you?
Not clear.
So, you know, in a nutshell, like, he started getting accused of sexual misconduct by several people. And these were all like
co-workers, wasn't it?
Like other actors or people that he interacted with.
Right.
And one particular guy said that he like touched him or did some inappropriate things when Kevin Spacey was 26 and he was 14 at the time. Now, I mean, I understand that a lot of these victims, like, it's hard to talk about these things, or that sometimes things get repressed. But the dude's almost like 60, and you're bringing this stuff like 20, 30 years later. I don't know, man. Sometimes I have a problem with that. Now, granted, he had a bunch of other people that came out the woodwork. Yeah, I mean, it could be about the money. But anyways, there's a lot of other people that came out the woodwork, you know, claiming that he did something to them. So he ended up going to court about these cases, and it has drained him financially of a lot of money, and different projects that he was working on, he got dropped from them because they didn't want to be associated with him and what was going on at the time. Now, similarly to some of these cases that we've been seeing lately with some of these other artists, like, you start thinking, well, you know, if there's smoke, there might be fire, because you see several people coming out making these claims. But in his situation, looks like he was acquitted of all charges, like all the accusations, like he wasn't found guilty of any of them, but it left him with millions of dollars in debt and stuff like that. I think, did you see his interview on Piers Morgan recently? He was on Piers Morgan recently talking about his situation, and basically, because he's been living in Maryland, in the Baltimore area, and he said that they're getting rid of his house. I guess they're gonna foreclose on it. They're seizing it, and they're taking it away. He's thought about going. Filing for bankruptcy, but he's been able to avoid that. He's got a few assets because I think he's got a few houses and stuff like that, but I think he doesn't have any money. So he's going to have to either sell them off or something. But I think right now he's on this media tour to try to get people to give him another chance when it comes to his career. So now, kind of knowing the story a little bit, some people think that it's all for show, like he's probably still guilty. And even the stuff that he's saying out here now is just an act that he's putting on. But some people feel like he probably is innocent of these things that he was accused of, especially since he was found innocent and he should be given a second chance. What do you think?
He's innocent and proven guilty. So if they don't have any proof or anything is not sticking, and he's been free from all allegations, correct?
Yeah, all the allegations that he was accused of, you know,
have been dismissed.
Yeah, he was acquitted, like all criminal charges.
So, yeah, I think he deserves a second chance because those was false accusations.
And, you know, and
if they didn't prove him,
yeah,
and if nothing was stick the landing and it said this was a definite, this is what happened, and if it all comes out to the point where it was just all allegations, then he deserves to have a second chance. You do. I agree.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, for example, because a lot of times it's not whether you did something or not. It's whether we can prove that you did it or not.
Right.
So if he's got a good lawyers and defense team,
they can
get you off. Now, I'm not saying he did, because obviously he was acquitted. But some will look at the fact that, well, just because there were so many different allegations that it's like, wait a minute, there was too many things for him not to have done something. That being said, you know, it's like the whole OJ thing. You know, yeah, he was acquitted, but everybody thinks he still did it. He just had a good legal team, and sometimes that's all it takes. But I don't know if you ever got to see that show. Did you ever watch that show on Netflix, House of Cards?
Yeah.
Man, that show was phenomenal.
It
was good.
And as a matter of fact, I think he was going to come out with a new season.
Yeah.
And then they had to take him out of it.
Yeah, they like killed him off or something. Yeah, and he's had really good movies. He was in that movie Horrible Bosses. I think Jennifer Aniston was in that. A couple other people. And Seven with Brad Pitt. Man, that was a good one. Yeah. So, Unusual Suspects. That was another good one that he had from back in the day. So, I mean, so I feel like he should get a chance. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of messy. It's kind of messy, but I feel like we talked about last week. I feel like this country in particular, it's a country that embraces redemption, that embraces comebacks, and when people like mess up and they face the music and they're willing to do better, I think a lot of times this country like forgets about it and moves on and gives you a second chance.
Right.
But the last thing I want to say about this is that I just wish that there was some kind of way that some of these people wouldn't be able to come out the woodwork, you know, 15, 20, 30 years later, claiming things that, like, really? I abused you 30 years ago, and now I'm supposed to, now I'm losing my job and everything else on an accusation. Not even the fact that I did it, because that's the other thing is, a lot of corporate America and companies will cut ties with you just on the accusation alone, which is sad, but it is where we are.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, but anyways, so that's that. You know, just kind of switching completely different gears, there was something that came out, I want to say this this week or last week, coming out of New York State. And New York State has moved to ban addictive social media feeds for children. And let me just read you a little bit about this. The New York State legislature has passed a bill allowing parents to block their kids from receiving social media posts suggested by platform's algorithms. This regulation aims to address concerns that these algorithm-driven feeds are addictive to children. The bill is part of a broader effort to regulate the influence of social media on young users. The proposed law reflects increasing scrutiny over the impact of social media on the mental health and well-being, particularly among minors. So overall, do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea?
Good idea.
Think it's a good idea? Why?
Yeah. I mean, the youth is very, they brain stuff is already sensitive and it's very pure. So when you put this stuff inside them, whether it's social media, TV shows, anything like that, it kind of narrows them. It narrogates them to being something they shouldn't. I think sometimes it influenced them. It could be good, it could be bad, you know, into something that it shouldn't be, you know. I think you have to guard your ear gate. You have to guard your eye gates, because being that young of age, you've been introduced to so many different things, and it can actually play a part in your life as you get into adult.
I'm not entirely mad that the state is banning some of these algorithms from suggesting material to children. I'm not mad at it per se, but what I'm mad about is the fact that the state has to get involved. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's gotten to that point, because I think that this is something that it really should be the parents doing it. The parents should be the ones monitoring and making sure that their kids are not seeing certain things. In fact, they should be making sure their kids are not on social media, period. I mean, most parents, you know, should keep them off social media to at least, I don't know, 15, 16 years of age. And even at that point, it should be very limited. One of the things that has really affected children, especially girls, is social media in terms of their mental health, how they see themselves, with such an increase in anxiety and depression, especially among girls. So I understand, like, the state's trying to, like, curtail some of this, but at the same time, I'm not one that I like to get the government involved in too many things in my life. So I feel like this should have been taken care of by the parents and the people in the lives of these kids. But because they're not doing it, now we're gonna, you know, and of course, TikTok and Facebook, they're not gonna do it because they're making money off of it. So of course now the state has to get involved. And but so I'm not thrilled about it, but at the same time I understand, and I think if anything, hopefully it cuts back on some of the damage that we see
right
with kids. But I think that law is targeting children, or, you know, under the age of 18. So, but let me ask you this. I mean, you know, I have a son now, and you've got children in your life. I mean, at what point are you going to allow them, do you think, to have social media or a phone for that matter?
It's hard to say. Like, I would think at least 15.
Well, okay. Any particular reason why, or what are you thinking?
I think it's okay to have a cell phone, but have a very just a call and text type of phone, not like open like social media, nothing like that. Maybe it's something where if you go over your friend's house or you get stuck and you need a ride home, you can just text or call,
yeah,
okay, for safety. Or if you're at the mall or you're at school, something goes down, then you can pick out your phone and you just call, we come get you, with anything like that. But as far as like social media goes, and no, I think that should be at least a 15. But I do remember when my sister, when she was growing up, I think she had a cell phone. Maybe she was like 10, 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is we told her whenever she went to like daycare or wherever she was anywhere, school, anything, she felt uncomfortable for any reason, you know, call mom, you know, and call your dad. And she did, you know, she never had any issues, but she knew it was okay if she had to. Now, she didn't know anything about it on social media, but she knew how to call or text and say she need help. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you in the sense that, yeah, I mean, when they're getting to that age where, you know, if they're having to go to like, you know, sports practice or even to the point that they're starting to drive, yeah, you want to make sure that they're okay if they're going somewhere in particular. So giving them a phone, I think, will be something that we'll have to consider around that age. But like you, I feel like if it's something that just, you know, make phone calls, text messages, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Not no access to the internet and everything else that you can find. Definitely not social media. I mean, you get a lot of these social media companies and CEOs of these companies, they don't even allow their kids to have it. So what does that tell you? If they don't even allow their kids to use it on a regular basis. So for me, yeah, I feel like, I think the only way I would justify them having some kind of social media presence is if they have some kind of business. Now, if they were like 15, 16, 17 and very entrepreneurial and they have some kind of business, like some t-shirt business or something, and obviously they wanted to sell it or monetize it, then sure, you can have social media to kind of target and market your business or something that you've got going on. But just to get clicks and likes, nah, we ain't doing that. Because, yeah, I mean, being grown and seeing the effects that sometimes it has on you and on me, like sometimes the phone tells you like how many hours you've been on there and how many hours you've averaged on social media. I'm like, damn, I spent that much time on there. So I cannot imagine what it would do to kids, especially when they find themselves with nothing else to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But we got one last story for you guys. And this is kind of I don't know if this has been out much in the news. I hadn't really heard that much about it. But this is a story about, hang on, drop my paper. About this Tinder scammer. And it's a story about this Tinder scammer that swindles women out of 100K by applying for bank loans and by stealing their IDs. So let me just quickly read this to you guys. I think they caught the guy. So Peter Gray has been sentenced to 56 months in prison after scamming four women he met on Tinder and he got $100,000 out of him. He apparently secretly took photos of the victim's driver's licenses and bank cards during their dates, and then he started using that information to apply to banks, bank loans in their names. One girl, by the name of Jessica, lost like $11,000, from him, and then another girl, Hannah, received a loan approval letter worth $25,000 that he had applied for. And then a third girl, he took out $12,000 loan in her name as well. So, you know, my thing is, like, how did he even do that? Like, how did he take pictures of their bank cards and their IDs at the same time? Now, obviously, he got caught, so, you know, good for them. I don't think they'll see that money back, unfortunately. But, like, I was trying to figure out, like, at what point during the date you can just, like, get their bank card and their IDs. The only thing that I can think of is, like, I don't know, if they went to, like, a bar and they had to show an ID, or they kept their ID, I don't know, and somehow he's like, oh, no, I'll go get it for you, or I don't know. I'm just baffled as to how that happened. Or, like, maybe he dated them for a while and they became comfortable.
Yeah.
And maybe they went back to their place, or, yeah, had a sleepover, and then he, like, took them out and maybe took pictures of them or whatever that way. I guess that's possible, too. Mm-hmm. Well, what you think about this story?
I definitely think they probably got comfortable and got distracted and was seduced. A lot of drunk nights, sleepy nights. And he was watching. He was watching and really trying to maybe understand their routine, like where she lay her keys or where she put her credit cards. So pumping gas when it's raining, she don't want to get the car. He takes the card in and pay for the gas. So stuff like that.
So this was definitely not something that happened on the first date.
No,
this was planned for weeks, months, getting to know the person to kind of get that information.
Yeah, that's a job was planned out. He actually studied them. He had to study these people and figure out their routine. Where they like to go and eat, what Starbucks they went to, and just learn the routine over and over and over again to the point where he critiqued it, to the point where they felt like they was in a relationship that was solid, that was permanent, where they felt comfortable to say, okay, babe, go in and take care of the gas. Oh, I get it this time since you got it last time. And he'll grab it. And he can just easily take his thumb and just, because he's a master of mind, so he could probably just easily take his thumb and go over the numbers. And he can memorize the numbers, the last four digits of the numbers, whether it was 4, 6, 13, and he'll write that down. And to the next time, he'd take that same card, he'd fill it again and get the next four digit numbers and write that number down. Before you know it, he have all sets of numbers written down. So now the only thing he got to know, we're coming to getting the expiration date and the name.
Then
he gets it. And then before you know it, he got the card.
Yeah.
Or he can take the card and just put it face down on paper and press it. And then it'll actually bring the print on the paper what you put down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've seen a lot of movies.
Speaking of movies, did you watch the documentary, The Tinder Swindler?
No, I did not watch that.
Dude, it's a great... Well, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
But it's similar to this guy.
Right.
But this guy was more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. He would get some of these women... Like, if I remember correctly, he met this one chick. He had her come to this, like, very nice, like, hotel where he was, like, staying at. And he did that on purpose so they can see, like, wow, this guy stays at really nice hotels, blah, 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 blah. And then he said to her, hey, why don't you come with me? I think they met in England. And he's like, hey, why don't you come with me to, like, I don't know, I think it was, like, Italy or somewhere. Why don't you come with me to Italy for like the weekend or something like that? We'll fly out tomorrow on my jet, private jet or whatever. He had a charter jet. And the girls were like, wait a minute. Like,
oh, yeah, you told me about this.
The girls were like, so like, wow, like, really? Because he has so much, he appeared to have all this money. So in the case of this girl, like, she ends up going on the trip and has a great time. He's paying for everything. And she realizes, wow, this guy really has a lot of money. So when she comes back, you know, they're texting back and forth. And all of a sudden, they're kind of in the relationship. They become boyfriend and girlfriend. And then he's, you know, he's doing business overseas. And he tells her, like, hey, you know, I want you to start looking at some apartments for us, blah, blah, blah. So she starts going to look at, like, these, like, high-end apartments. And this whole time he's playing games with them. He's making them think, like, yeah, moving in together. We're starting another chapter in our lives by getting a place together and this and that. And then it's at that moment when he's got them emotionally and he already has them believing that he's got money, that he's wealthy, where he'll say something like, hey, I'm over here in the Middle East or whatever, like, you know, they took my wallet, my cars, they took everything, like, I don't have anything on me, I've got to, like, meet this deadline, I need $10,000 or $20,000, like, I'm going to pay you back, but I need you to wire me that money. And a lot of these girls, because in their minds, well, he's got the money to pay me back. So they will go to the bank, get a loan, get the money, wire it to him. And then after a while, after he got the money, he would disappear. And the way he was keeping his lavish lifestyle with the next girl was with the money from the last one that he just got. So he kept that facade going. So after he swindled one chick, he would find some other chick and lavish her with all these things to make her think that he's got that kind of money, and then pretend he's in trouble and get them to get some kind of big loan, send him the money, and just do it over and over.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's low-key brilliant, but at the same time, dirty.
Very dirty.
But these girls all thought, wow, he's got that kind of money, I'll get my money back, but they never did. So
that's sad. Pathetic.
But I mean, like, do you think that maybe we should go back to just like regular, you know, meeting person type dating, in terms of like meeting at the bar, meeting at church, meeting someone that you know that has a friend? Because it seems to me that now more than ever, it's mostly online where people are meeting. And I was reading a statistic that said that every year these romance, they call them romance scams, they total about $1 billion. That's how much people are getting scammed in these romance type situations, $1 billion a year. So I don't know. Maybe we need to go back to old fashioned dating and meeting people at the bar, or like
we need to go back to group dating, which means,
okay,
like if there's somebody who I like in the group, then before I could able to go out with her, I have to go out with all our friends in the group. Like, I remember this back in the day, like my church was big on that. Like, you go out at like a group, it'd be like three guys, maybe about four or five girls, and out of that group, there's always a couple in the group that liked each other. So you're a group date, and you get to know each other in front of your whole group until you felt comfortable enough, until the person of the other sex would feel comfortable to actually go out along with you. But her friends are watching you and your friends are watching her, because sometimes you get caught up and you don't see signs. You don't see certain things that you should have seen in the beginning, but you didn't, because you are so head over heels about what you see in front of you. So your person on your right, the person on your left, and looking like, okay, Q, you didn't see that. That I've noticed how she checks her phone constantly on something. You know, or he's watching you for her. You know, just help you out. You have several eyes looking at for you for this particular person. Yeah. That's called group dating.
Well, I didn't know there was a name to it. Now, I do remember, like, growing up, like, I was part of this group, and actually it was like a Bible study group. And every Tuesday, every Wednesday, we would meet. And the group, I think it started, it was maybe like, I don't know, maybe like 10, 12 people. It kind of fluctuated. But you could tell, like, within the group, there's like people that kind of liked each other. There was always kind of that. So yeah, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a couple of relationships might have came out of that, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, so maybe we need to do something like that. But I mean, obviously, if you do the Tinder and the Bumbles and all of that, obviously you gotta be very careful these days, because obviously there's a lot of people scamming, there's a lot of people that are catfishing, there's a lot of fake people out there. But yeah, man. So that's all the stories that I brought today. I don't know if you got anything else for the people.
No, sir.
Man, guys, I appreciate you guys for sticking around till the end. If you guys have any comments you guys want to share with us, let us know. We're going to try to do this, like I said, once a week, putting out content. But definitely follow us on the show, on the socials, follow us on YouTube. Definitely download the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and obviously share with everybody else that you know. But yeah, I think that's all I got. Mr. Q, anything else you want to say?
Just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Yes. Go ahead. Finish.
And enjoy your weekend. Have fun. If you have a father, spend time with him, because you never know. This could be the last time.
Yeah, man. Maybe we'll have to do a podcast, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit more. But thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
Deuce.